This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, January 19th, 2025. Faith, living it.
Well, good morning, Connection Church. Sorry for my microphone. The battery sometimes comes dislodged, but anyway. Isn't this just a nice, wet, cold, gray day to be part of God's creation? Amen. Because, you know, even on a day like this, it's glorious, isn't it? And it's so good to be together with each other here in the sanctuary that we can share in God's word and give a little thought to it. Amen, amen.
Well, good morning, Connection. My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who have been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The mission of our church, say it with me, is to connect people with Jesus and the new life he offers. That's just not this morning. That is every single day of the week. That's what we live out. I want to say hey to those of you joining us online. We are grateful that we have technology that can have one church, many locations. Speaking of online, I'll be joining you online next week because I'm having, finally, a knee replacement on Friday. So I thank you for your prayers ahead of time and can't wait to be back with you ASAP. Well, let's pray. Almighty God, thank you so much for today. We pray safety as the weather could get kind of crazy and that we just kind of hunker down and enjoy whatever we're going to be doing this afternoon. And God, most of all, we thank you for meeting us right here and anywhere we are, for there is no place where we are where you're not. Thank you for this day. We pray this in your name. Everybody agreed and said,
amen.
Amen. Well, this morning we are starting a three-week series on faith. Today our focus is on living it, living our faith. Next week we'll be talking about the challenges to faith. And then the following week we'll be talking about sharing our faith. So let's get started living our faith.
So when you think about it, we all live by faith to some extent, but the question then comes, where are you, where are we placing our faith? Let me give you just a real simple example. When you came in this morning here in the sanctuary, did you do a careful examination of the chair you were going to sit in? Anyone? Did you really? What were you looking for? Okay, so you weren't looking more for location. Did anybody carefully inspect the chair to make sure it would support them? See, that's what I'm talking about. You had faith that it would hold you up, that it wasn't going to collapse, that it wasn't going to leave you on the floor. And you go, okay, where did I come by that faith? Perhaps you came in after others were in here, you looked around and figured, well, everybody else okay? I guess I'm going to be okay too. Maybe it's because you've been here for before and from past experience, you figured, well, if the chair held me before, it'll hold me again. Maybe you've never had a chair you couldn't trust. Maybe. The thing is, though, it all came down to faith when you came in this morning that chair you were in was going to fully support you and there was going to be no problem. Amen? Amen. A faith step.
I do remember the day when you and Mike Rotina ordered four different chairs and you sat in them to see which one was a most comfortable.
Right. It wasn't about support, but it was comfort.
But you needed a sturdy chair. You wanted a sturdy chair.
But you wanted wide and comfortable.
That's right.
And I think we achieved our goal.
I think we did.
Yeah.
So we put faith in things all the time without even thinking about it, don't we? I mean, before we even wake up, until the time we lay our head on the pillows, our hellos on the pillow.
Before you go to sleep.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm not medicated yet, so. You know, when I put the time into my phone last night, you know, 6:15 a.m. for my alarm ring, I trusted that it would happen. I trusted that my coffee would be ready because I said it last night, and I only needed to say, Alan, could you bring me a cup of coffee so I didn't have to do the stairs a second time.
And I was faithful
in doing that. I had faith that the car would start when I pushed the button. I had faith that the gas in my tank would get me here and that everybody would follow the rules of the road. So we've already had a faith-filled morning. There's a lot of things that we've already put our faith in. Now, isn't it interesting how much faith we need for every moment of our day and our daily lives?
So what's really kind of interesting, though, is how often we have more faith in chairs and alarms and coffee makers and gas pumps than we have in God. If you think about it, I say that because we don't often think twice about those things that are doing what they were created to do, right? And yet, how often do we not have faith in the one who wasn't created at all, but who is the creator of all we see and all we don't see? The one who put this whole thing together. the one who above all else we should trust. The one who we should have faith that he will do what he has told us he will do. Why is it at times we have more faith in the things we created than we have in the one who created us? Let me say that again. Why is it at times we have more faith in the things we've created than we have in the one who created us?
2 Corinthians 5:7. Say it with me. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Well, maybe that's the reason. We follow God by faith, not by sight. And those other things that we trust, we see them. And so we can have faith in that, those things that we don't see. And it's a little harder to have faith in that we don't see. But trusting in God, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is a step of faith that's worth it all the way. Okay, so where do you put your faith? Let's just pause for a minute. Think about that. Where do you put your faith? So if you're a scientist, if you have to have things line up, scientists might put their faith in interpretation of data, in things in their minds that are absolutely real, and things that can be proven through data. And yet over the years, science has changed. We've seen a lot of things where at one point we think it's this, but it's different years later.
I had a sister, a younger sister, her name was Susan. She's no longer with us, unfortunately. But she was what we call a humanist. Now, a humanist is virtually the polar opposite of a Christian. A humanist rejects the idea of a higher being such as God, and the humanist would put their faith in the idea that human beings have it within us to work out what is right and wrong, using reason, empathy, compassion, and respect for the dignity of every person. I appreciate that dignity of every person. That's important. But the challenge here is that the humanist is a person themselves. And people, well, we are subject to being fickle. We're subject to changing, to not always exhibiting our best and not always making the best decisions. And so it would be difficult to place a lot of faith in that system, don't you think, when we think that basically a human is the highest we can get, the best we can get, it's tough to put your faith in something that is so subject to change and variability.
And it's tough to have loved ones who aren't connected to Jesus.
Amen that.
It's tough to have faith in things that have instability. And I mean, we aren't the most stable things in the box, are we? I mean, our emotions kind of are all over the place. In fact, the only thing is not a thing, but it's a one. The only one we can have faith in is the one who never changes. Same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Malachi says that the Lord says this. Malachi was a prophet, and the Lord says, I, the Lord, do not change. Hebrews 13, 8 tells us, Jesus Christ, same thing I just said. Say it with me. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Ironically, the one, or rather the three in one, Father, Son, Spirit, that so many have trouble fully trusting, having faith in, is really the only one that we can truly have faith in. As crazy as it sounds, the only one that is unchanging, that knows what's best, that loves us beyond measure, is God. Why do we have such problems trusting God, putting our faith in?
In the Gospel of Matthew, we find the story of a man who came to Jesus with his son. The boy was having severe seizures. He was suffering greatly. The father brought the boy to the disciples, but they couldn't heal him. After Jesus, he said there was a demon in him. And after he delivered the boy from the demon, the disciples asked Jesus why the disciples, couldn't drive that demon out. And he, Jesus, replied, because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, and you have one there with you, you can see how small a mustard seed is, right? If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you.
Faith as small as a mustard seed. Take your mustard seed out. Does everybody have one? I hope so. Grab one if you don't. I mean, look at how small that is. It took a lot of time for Alan to put
that. It was fun taping those on, those little papers.
They're rolling all around.
I love you guys, you know. That's just a little bit showed how much I love you there.
This is really small.
Yeah.
Really small. Jesus tells us this, you know, as an illustration. This is all the faith we need at times. You know, sometimes maybe that's all I've got. What about you? But just a mustard seed amount of faith, it's okay. Some days, this is about it. As we stare at this, be encouraged. If this is you, it's okay. If this came off the page and it was blank, that's tough because nothing makes sense after that. Mm-hmm. Nothing comes together. We might as well be a humanist and just lean on ourselves.
As you look at that seed, remember what Jesus said. If you have just that much faith, you can tell that mountain. You can move mountains, and we've seen that. But, you know, this faith we're talking about today is not what they call blind faith. You know, blind faith. It's the confidence you have in something or someone. So we want to explore, what does it mean to live by faith? Well, Antioch Church in Georgetown, Texas, asked that very question in a message that we found on their website. Message called, What Does It Mean to Live by Faith? Specifically, how do we as followers of Jesus Christ live in such a way that it displays our confidence in God. And we're going to offer four answers to that question. What does it mean to live by faith? Living by faith, first, number one. Living by faith means that we're confident that God is good. Say, God is good. God is good. As we live by faith on a daily basis, no matter what, God is good no matter what. You know, it's easy to say, oh, God is good when everything's peachy, when everything's sunshine, when everything's going your way. Oh, God is good. That doesn't take any faith, does it? No. No matter what. When things are going for us and when things are going not going for us, God is good. Good times, not so good times, God is good. It's believing that at those times when it appears that God's withholding his goodness from us, God is actually working for us all the while. As we're reminded in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who what? Love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We studied this a couple months ago, I think, when we were looking at Romans, but it's worth repeating. God works good for those who love him, even in the midst of trial and tribulation.
Okay, I need to say something.
Okay.
Penny, I think you're watching. I didn't get your permission, but I'm just going to say it. So somebody that we know and love in this church, Penny, has been, you know, not with us since December 10th because of an illness. Well, that illness took her to rehab, and she was at Broadmeadow on Christmas Eve and on New Year's Eve. Well, that's really tough, right? But through all that, she's like, well, I'm supposed to be here. I asked Jesus to just let it be Jesus and me. That's what, and we heard her say that in small group. Let it be Jesus and me. I want to get closer to Jesus. She was closer to Jesus on Christmas Eve all by herself in that room, and New Year's Eve in that room. And through it all, she kept saying, God's purpose is for me here.
She was in isolation, right?
She was for like 12 or 14 days because of COVID.
Isolation.
And it's, Penny, I know you're going to be giving this testimony in person soon, but it has affected me because I saw her say, God is good. I'm not sure I would have been that joyful. She was joyful. She was joyful. So we've got to say God is good even when everything around us is not great. And we can do it. I just saw it. We've just seen it with somebody that we love. God is good no matter what.
Amen, amen. In all good things, God works for the good of those who love him. All things, all the time. And so in our confidence that God is working for the good of all who love him, rather than complaining when things are not going our way, we should use those moments as opportunities, as Penny did, to thank God for his goodness. We need to recognize that God is working on our behalf even when we don't see it or realize it. There's a lot going on behind the scenes that we don't understand because we don't have the big picture, but God does. Yeah. As I said before, it doesn't take much faith. We come and go as we like, but when we're in isolation, it's a whole different story. Here's a familiar phrase that reminds us of God's goodness. God is good all the time, and all the time, amen, amen.
So living by faith means that we're confident that God is good. That's the first thing. A second point that we want to share is living by faith means that we're confident that God is in control. God is in control. The book of Matthew, we read about how a big storm came up on a lake. It was Lake Tiberias, and Jesus and his disciples, they were out in a boat, and you know, the storm's going crazy, and the disciples are so afraid, and the waves are going nuts, and Jesus is asleep through it all.
I guess he had faith.
The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he, Jesus, got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." What kind of man is this? Well, it's the one who's in control, the one who can calm the seas, calm the wind, can affect nature. Nothing is beyond his control. When we see that, when we truly believe that, when we're able to live by faith, knowing that God is in control, it really does change everything. Okay, God, I know that you're out there. I know that you're not some distant God, but you're right here. When I was a kid, my mom taught me a song, you know, "He's got the whole world in his hands." It's true. I learned that as a little kid. Some of you did too. God is in control. God the Father, Jesus Christ, his one and only Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three in one, in control.
So Friday morning, I was doing my devotion from the book New Morning Mercies by Paul David Tripp. I know many of you, including Carrie, have used that book for devotions. And in the devotion Friday morning, he asked the reader, asked what was the reader facing that day that they wouldn't be facing if they were in control. You ever had one of those days where you say, "Man, if I was running things, it wouldn't look like this." Yeah, because I know what I'm doing. Yeah.
I just think it's amazing that that's the Friday one that you were reading when we're thinking about this.
Absolutely. And then he offered some suggestions. He writes this: "What causes you to wish life was easier or at least a little bit more predictable?" If you could change a couple of things in your life right now, what would they be? Where does it feel to you as if you're on an amusement park ride that you never intended to be on? Then Tripp goes on to summarize that life in this fallen world is very hard. Do we have anybody that will disagree with that? No. We all have realized that at one point or another, haven't we? Life is hard, like that book starts out. Life is hard. And things are not functioning as God intended. He says that some days it seems impossible and scary, and that life is all about surviving the chaos. If you have many children, you probably especially think that sometimes. He then goes on to say that the Bible tells us that this apparent chaos is not the result of the world being out of control, but it's the result of the reign of the one who is in control. He says, no matter how things look at street level, this world, your world, is not out of control. He says, it's under careful rule with you in view, with you in mind, with you in the mix. Jesus rules over all things for the sake of his children. That'd be you and me. Live by faith, knowing that God is in control.
So the first one was, living by faith means that we're confident that God is good. The second is that we're confident that God is in control. Third, living by faith means that we're confident that God knows best. It's one thing to know that God is good and that God is in control, but taking it a step further to say that God knows best, that's hard. If we try to relate to that on our human level as parents, we tell our kids, you know, eat your vegetables, brush your teeth, get your rest, do your homework. You know, we know what's best for them, even though they might not agree. And we do those things not to control them, not to let them know who's boss, but because we love them, because that's part of guiding our kids. So it only follows then that if we believe that God is our Father, which he is, in heaven, that our Father knows best for us. Jeremiah 29:11, we share this a lot. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And so living by faith means that we trust that God knows what's best for us. This is hard because we're all in the midst of stuff that it doesn't necessarily feel that God really knows what's best if we're dealing with some really, really tough things. Even when we can't see what God is doing, how God is intervening, it's best to trust that God knows best. He does. And I know that it's tough because there are times that we just have to say, this doesn't make sense, God. This hurt is beyond what I can deal with, God. I don't want this to be our future, God. Faith means that we trust that God knows best and that we know that we know that we know that God is with us, through it all. And that we can learn and grow even through our trials. God knows best.
Number four. Living by faith means we're confident that God answers prayer. It means we aren't afraid to ask God for things, to talk to him on behalf of others and ourselves. Check out what we read in 1 John 5:14 to 15. This is the New International Version. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask for anything according to his will. Remember that little phrase there. Not for anything. Oh, I want that. We were at the car show the other day, David, Ely, and I. Oh, yeah, I want that one and that one. And then they're all over. You know, the one car was bulletproof. It was a Cadillac Escalade. It was only $225,000. Oh, let me have. Oh, if I ask for it, God's going to give it to me. Not. I don't think that car is in his will. Anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. When we live by faith, we're not afraid to put the we're not afraid to pray with confidence and to pray big and bold prayers. Oh, Lord, big and bold. Like some of the family prayers we've had over the years. Prayers for strength and guidance as we cared for my mother when my father passed away with four little kids in the house. Prayers for all the challenge we faced as we both were in seminary and serving four churches at the time. prayers for all that our family was going to face as we offered ourselves and our family to God. Some of the prayers we've had around here over the years, you've heard us talk about them, that God would show us what we needed, give us what we need to plant this church right here in Middletown, that God would stir the hearts of others to share this vision that God gave us, that it would share this vision with some others so that we had the person power to do what God was calling us to do, planting this church called Connection. That if this land was what God wanted us to have, that God would make it available to us even though somebody else already had a contract on it. That if God would want us to put this building here when the bids came in at $2 million more than the budget allowed, that he would in fact somehow allow us to give life in this valley of dry bones that we talked about a couple weeks ago. Our prayers for the future of CCC, you know, what's ahead, who knows, but we know this. God is already out in front of us. God already has this under control as we pray for what's to come.
Praying bold prayers. Friday night, we were celebrating our grandson Jacob's 16th birthday. I can't believe that he's 16. And there were 15 of us together. Our granddaughter, Alex, who is Turner's daughter, she's 6 years old, before they were getting ready to leave, she pulls me aside and she says, Ree, that's my grandmother named Carrie. Anyway, our oldest named me that. Ree, can I pray with you? I'm like, sure. And with confidence, she talked to God about my surgery and about my healing and claimed it. I mean, I was blown away. I recorded it, and if there was a lot of talking in the background, so it's not as clear, because I would love to play it for you. This little six-year-old, with confidence, approached the throne of God and asked. And so, you know, it's going to be great when she sees her prayers answered. Living by faith, having confidence that God, that who God is who he, who God says he is who he is. He is. And that God will do what God says he's going to do. This book is full of promises. And God is not a promise breaker. He's a promise keeper. There's a name for God that we find in the Old Testament. And the name is Yahweh. You know, remember when Moses was called to lead the people out by God, and he's making all these excuses, and he goes, well, who do I say that you are? And God says, I am who I am. I am who I am. He is the great I am. That means Yahweh. And so we can have confidence in the great I am, right? I think that name kind of covers everything. I am. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am. I am. So living by faith means that we can have confidence that God is good, that God is in control, that God knows best, and that God answers prayer. Maybe not the way we've asked for it, but God does answer prayer. Living by faith means that we know that God is love. God equals love. Living by faith means that we know that God expressed that love by sending his son Jesus, human yet divine, to walk among us, to talk among us, to live, to die, and to rise again. Wow, thank you, God. Because of that, we can have eternal life. We put our faith in the one who saves us. That is such good news. Living by faith means that we're confident of the perfect love of God. Perfect love is hard for us here in this world to get because we're so imperfect and we don't love perfectly. But God loves us perfectly. And that's what we can stand on. And we can stand on forgiveness, and that we can spend eternity with the one who loves eternity in the presence of God, here on earth and in heaven, Father, Son, Spirit. It's a lot to chew on. This is not easy because there's a whole bunch of situations in her head right now like, well, but why is this? And why is this? And I don't know. All I know is that I'm going to put my trust in God. How about you? I'm going to live by faith. How about you? Because what else do we have? We have Jesus. That's the good news. Let's live it. Let's believe it. if there's anything in your life right now that's, I mean, I can think of a dozen things in mine, but if there's something going on in yours, talk to God about it. Listen to the words that we're going to be singing together. You can go back in the prayer corner, and Rita, if you go over there, that would be great. Stephanie, you're over here. Go back to Rita or Stephanie, and they can lift anything up with you in prayer. Good, questions, bad. God loves it when we are in community in prayer. Let's pray right now. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for example after example after example in the Bible where you talk about faith, where you demonstrate faith, where you show us that you are a promise keeper. And God, I know that our lives often spin out of control and we think that you aren't in it, but you are with us. I'm certain. And so help us just mustard seed-sized faith, if that's what we have. That's enough. Thank you for that reminder. Thank you for being in the mess with us. Thank you for being on the mountaintops with us and everything in between. We praise you. We thank you. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Everybody agreed and said, Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.